It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and it is another fantastic day to be with everyone. I'm so glad you're here. This is a really important show today. We are going to be talking about something that is something I have become passionate about. I'm getting more and more involved in whatever way I can to bring voice to the victims of human trafficking. And today I have with me an esteemed guest, Yaku Boyens, who is a filmmaker and who I had the pleasure of watching his interview actually with Mark Levin on Fox News. And I reached out to Yaku to say, would you be on our show? We hit the, you know, an important area here where human trafficking, quite frankly, in this mid-Atlantic, mid-Maryland area is quite prevalent. And so I wanted to have him on, and he said yes. And I'm so delighted to have you with us. Good morning, Yaku.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure to be on. And thank you for using your platform for good, like you guys do. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And I thank you for your active role that you're taking. And it's very personal, right? It's personal, but you also represent so many. And I want to let you know that I have a young lady in the studio with me today who is somebody who has experienced human trafficking, and she has become an advocate for so many. And I thought, let us have all of us together in one room, virtually, and be able to talk about this so that we can bring to light the issues and educate people. And one of the things we want to think about is, what is it that starts to show up? What are the red flags when this is going on around us? Because I think for the most part, as human beings, we go about our daily lives and we don't realize that this stuff is going on around us. Is that accurate, Yaku?
Yes, that is. Yeah, for sure, that is. And you know, I think we can dive right in.
Good.
The epidemic of sex trafficking, and we got to quickly highlight a couple things. When we say human trafficking, it's a very broad term. We need to get really specific, because human trafficking includes labor trafficking and a whole bunch of other things. Sex trafficking, and then within sex trafficking, we'll get into child sexual exploitation, right? So this, because people need to understand, sex trafficking is not just prevalent when it's a minor. Don't by default label a lady or a gentleman a prostitute if they're over 18. They can be trafficked. When there's force, fraud, or coercion in any form, in any shape, it's trafficking. So if anybody is being forced to give sex to someone else, either for goods or pay or favor, or there's threats or blackmail or bribery, etc., that's trafficking. That's not prostitution. We're so quick to label so many of the ladies as prostitutes, but most of them were trapped into this lifestyle and this evil as minors. And just because the clock ticked on and they became 18 now with new laws, all of a sudden now they're labeled a prostitute. Not like a young girl who's trafficked at 14 and now she's 21. The day she turned 18, she just made a decision and said, okay, today I'm 18. I'm going to make better decisions because now I'm an adult. Now, this is massive emotional manipulation. It's the destruction of self-worth. It's the destruction of self-image. The lady in the studio with her, I can't see, so she'll either corroborate or not. But I'd say 100% of the victims who survivors I've met with will tell you there's a moment in that cycle where they even ask themselves, am I responsible? Did I do this? Am I contributing? Because the pimps tell them this. Can't believe you're this. You can't believe you would give that guy sex, but you forced me. Yeah, but do you know who that guy is? Yeah, what a bad gang member he is. I can't believe you would go that low. So there's massive manipulation. If for a second you consider with the Me Too movement that woman came out and said, for 30 years, I could not speak about being raped. Now, look, any abuse at any time is unacceptable. Emotional, verbal, physical, sexual, doesn't matter. But a woman that's raped, one instance, 30 years, it's hard for her to speak because of the trauma. Imagine a child, 12, 13, 14 years old, that's sold on average between 10 to 20 times per day. Now you want to ask that child, oh, just come forth and just spill the beans or make better decisions. Evil is so real when sexual immorality is loose. It's a Pandora's box that we've opened as a country, and it's very bad.
Thank you, Yaku, for painting that perspective, because I think that's so accurate that as women, you know, this Me Too movement, as somebody who has experienced some of this stuff, I get it. Like, you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it. You just don't. Kimba, anything you want to say about that?
About Me Too?
Yeah.
Well, we started Me Too Frederick here to try to start the conversation. And we have a website where we're actually collecting people's stories. We become the vessel of their stories. And they put them down. And we feel it's a way that people can leave their story somewhere and then hopefully move on. What we're finding with Me Too is it's so personal, it's so hard to share.
Yaku, is that your understanding as well? That I think it's opened, to your point, the dialogue, but it's still being so personal. It is something we don't tend to want to go there.
Yeah, look, I'll say this to you, and I'm not here to be politically correct. I'm not here to be controversial, but just by being controversial, I just want to lay the facts on the table, because there's so many things in this country where we dance around the truth and we dance around the facts, right? And I'm just, you know, I'm about just the fact. Here's the issue. There are so many, by the thousands, in power that know this is happening, that will not touch it, because they also know who's involved. And it is politically risky for them. It may be risky in their job or their marriages or unveiling. We now have a John Doe pleading yesterday with a letter to the New York, you know, defense attorneys on the Epstein case saying, please don't reveal my name or any of the other names because it would tarnish our reputation. Of course it's going to tarnish your reputation, and it should. It should destroy people that are destroying lives of these innocent children. Why should you be protected? You know, if you were affiliated, if you are affiliated, if you knew that there was smoke and you didn't report it, if you are privy to things happening in your community and you don't speak up, you're complicit. You're in my eyes, you're part of the problem, because we can no longer have this see no evil, hear no evil approach to pure evil in this country, where children, women, men, boys, are being sexually abused and exploited. And people know. There's always somebody that knows. People know. People will say, yeah, it was kind of strange. There's a lot of activity at that house. It's always men coming and going. Yeah, that massage parlor kind of looked weird, looked strange. But they say nothing. So it is time for the American public to start self-policing, respectfully wake up and report. And we need to educate them what to look for sure, because it's a very difficult crime to identify. It's a very difficult crime to fight. You hide it in plain sight because you are manipulating human emotion. You're not trafficking cocaine in a bag across the border. You're mind controlling and manipulating people and threatening them and having bribery over their heads and using these profiling mechanisms to pick your target. They pick their targets very carefully. They know what they're doing.
So before we go to educate the public. Yeah, before we go to profiling, because I think that's an important thing about a prevention. I want to talk a little bit about what you said about, and I'm just going to put it out there. You know, there's so much in what you just said. First of all, what is the punishment worthy of the destruction that these people have wreaked on society and children? And, you know, when you look at mental health issues today, which is something I've been a huge voice for, so much, if you think about the mental health aftermath of what this is inflicting, not only on women, mostly women, but some boys too. And, you know, then we wonder why we have the, mass murder, reactive, crazy events in our world today where people are so violent. So I think that this is such a, to your point, Yaku, this is a societal issue that must be taken on at this massive 30,000 foot level, because the impact is so great and lives are at stake. And for me, I think, anybody who human traffics a child, I mean, I'm going to say it right here, like, really, death penalty, you're done. You don't deserve, you don't deserve to have 20, 30 years in prison.
Yeah, well, we wish for 20 to 30 years, Jennifer. I mean, look, I've been fighting this thing since 1994. And let me tell you where we are. 5 years ago in this country, the United States of America, the majority of the states in this country looked at a child victim as a prostitute. By law. By law, that child was a prostitute. Now, we've come a long way. We've come a long way with laws today. We have. But now we're resting on our laurels. We go, we changed the law. That's fantastic. You know, Texas got the best law. California's got some of the best laws. Fantastic. She's a victim, et cetera. A law is a zero if not enforced. A law means nothing. If a pimp or a buyer, I hate to use the word John because there's good Johns out there, but a pimp or a buyer gets apprehended, gets arrested, and they do not get the full book thrown at them, then that law is worthless. That's what's happening today. The district attorneys, the judges, the level of corruption in sex trafficking, sexual exploitation, sexual abuse in this country is an epidemic. It's vile, because now you got a guy who gets arrested in the act, right? He should get 30 years in prison. It gets bumped down to a misdemeanor. He gets 13 months, $130 fine, a slap on the wrist, and 100 hours community service. That's an actual case of the last 2 months. But the law said 30 years. There's common law in the streets of California with the actual law that says, look, 20 to 30 years. There's common rule of thumb amongst the organizations that fight the crime, the NGOs, the non-government organizations. It is kind of like under breath. We know the law under breath is your first slave is free.
It's outrageous.
The first time, but you're going to walk. This is a joke.
It's outrageous. Yaku, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to hang on, please. You're listening to Back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today in studio Kimba, and I also have on the phone Yaku Boyens. Yaku is a filmmaker and an advocate for human trafficking issues. You have become a voice to be reckoned with, really. And I thank you so much, Yaku, for your passionate expression for enough is enough. That's what I really hear. Like, enough is enough. And I'm right there with you. And I, you know, you were saying before the break about this idea that, that frankly, the courts and the legal system, I might go so far as to say, is complicit in allowing this to fester rather than stamp it down. Is that accurate?
Yeah, look, I'll say this. A lot of these things are connected, right? When we look at the abortion movement in the country, when we look at sex trafficking, and now I want to throw some things your way. The active move to classify pedophilia as a sexual orientation. You have to understand what it's all about. and why people are not fighting it the way you're fighting it, I'm fighting it, that amazing warrior that's in the room with you, that's a survivor, is fighting it. Do you know why? It's because of power and votes. Because today, our society look at people as a project, like you would brand a food product and say, is there a market for a Twinkie? And if there is a market for a Twinkie, demand, I'm gonna give them a Twinkie. They go, well, listen, there's a market for people wanting to have sex with children. Sure, there is. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to legalize it, then they'll vote for us.
It's so sick. It's so sick. I can't even stomach what you just said, because this is the first time I'm hearing this. I want to give people some perspective. Here's a data point. 600 to 800,000, they say, are human trafficked a year worldwide, but could be as many as 27 million. That's a huge disparity in the data. So the point is, it's tremendously underreported, right?
Yeah, and look, you've got more slaves today than ever before in history. We did not abolish slavery. I was raised in South Africa. Anybody, I invite anybody to come talk to me about slavery. I was raised by a mom that was an activist, a single mother that was thrown in jail because she wouldn't teach white kids in her classroom unless we racially integrated the classroom. I was raised in the middle of apartheid. My sister was trafficked in that environment, probably profiled because of it. We are in the midst of the largest slavery outbreak in human history ever, and it's being done under the law. It's been done with protection. No question. Don't for one second think Harvey Weinstein was a lone wolf in Hollywood. They will eat their young. They'll eat their own. They offered him on a sacrifice. It's kind of look over here, don't look at us. Those involved would have led Epstein to the slaughter as long as we don't call their names out. We need to go to town and unveil the evil for what it is. And call it out for what it is. And if there's a corrupt judge, that guy needs to go to public court. We got to take it back to the streets. Give the people the power back. We need to empower the moms of society, because they're the warriors. They're the ones that see everything. They're in the community. They know if little Johnny's personality has changed. They understand what to, and equip them to understand what to look for, because we cannot, under any circumstance, think government is going to protect our children. Not happening. Government wants to secure job protection for themselves. And they will let you vote any way you want to vote. Hence the reason why we've got a complete moral compromise in our society today. Because it's about votes. It's about power. It's about earmarking capital to their campaign. It's about their donor base. So yes, they will. And there is a bill that's about to go to the floor that they're working on, that actually has sponsors attached to it. And if you know how that works, that means Senate and House and you know, State Senate and U.S. Senate to lower the minimum age consent for sex to the age 10 in the United States of America. Why? Because they want votes. That's why.
We should be marching on Washington saying H-E-L-L no. Really?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's outrageous. Absolutely. So here's my question. Let's give people some information, Yaku, about what are the conditions you want to be looking for? What are the red flags?
I got to do this. I'm busy posting a series of videos on my Twitter account, and because I want to speak to parents. I want parents to understand that this question you're asking right now goes back to the core, what I believe as a Christian conservative capitalist lover of the United States of America. That's who I am, boldly, right? We have to get back to family. You cannot think the principal or the teacher is going to raise your children. You raise your children. You get involved at a home and have real conversation. You discuss this issue with anybody above 10, because they're teaching them about sex ed at 8 and 10 in the school anyway. You start having real conversations. Now, pay attention to social cues. start opening your eyes in society. A child that changes behavior drastically, that's not normal human behavior. People don't change. People change when there's a massive event in their lives, okay? Huge event like trafficking, abuse, divorce, car accident, things, huge events, right, happens. A child doesn't just change peer group. A child doesn't just change going from an introvert to an extrovert, starting to dress emo, or all of a sudden he's the kid with no friends and has got a lot of friends. Something's up. Am I saying it's always trafficking? No, but something's going on. There's smoke. Start asking questions. Talk to that child's parent. Talk to the child. Talk to the principal. If people say, well, Yaku, what if I'm wrong? Be wrong a million times to be right one time. One time to save a child. But speak up. Ask questions. Look for tattoos. No child. I don't care. You know, I have friends who are tattoo artists who won't let their minor children have tattoos until they're 18. It's not normal for a child to have a tattoo. That's a branding, most likely a branding element, because these pimps brand the children. They do. Now, there are runaways. That's traffic. There are foster care children trafficked, CPS children trafficked. There are children kidnapped, for sure. We had two kidnappings this week that I was that we were involved in saving the children. Praise God, we found one. The other girl is still missing. But kids are being trafficked while living at home today in the United States. They don't have to kidnap them. The coercion is so strong. The number one rising trend of trafficking children in the U.S. is family members trafficking their own children for profit. Parents need to get back engaged. Monitor all social media, all of it. I don't care if your child does not like you. They're not supposed to like you. You're not their friend. You're their parent. You monitor all social media. Teach them. Do not overshare. Do not talk about our family on social media. Do not air your laundry on social media. Do not, you know, have your child for the first time in their life hear that they're beautiful or they're loved or they're talented online. They need to hear that from a father, a healthy father, a mother. Pay attention to how they express themselves. Their language will change if they're trafficked. They will most likely form habits, coping mechanisms, always. Where one girl we rescued that said, look, I had a Bible and all I started doing is reading Bible. Another girl said, look, I started picking at my fingers and pulling my own nails out. There's always physical signs on a child that's under duress. There's abuse at home. Maybe mom hits dad hits mom. The child will show evidence. If a child is physically abused, there's evidence. There's physical evidence. Suicide is through the roof. There's cutting. There's burn. There's always signal. So many of these things get swept under the rug. Look, I love the anti-bullying movement, but we've labeled things bullying when it was really sex trafficking. Is that bullying? For sure, but it's worse. It's worse, right? So now the pimps are saying, fine, you can call it bullying. You can call it, you know, depression. You can call it teen suicide. As long as we can slip it into society and we can hide it in plain sight. So parents need to start paying attention, not just their own children, but the community. Frequent cars that don't live in the community. A lot of traffic, you know, frequent traffic at a particular house, and it seems like it's more just males. Establishment, not just massage parlors, by the way, nail spas. And today, your number one blatant open trafficking trade platform is strip clubs. 100%.
Okay, Yaku, I'm going to stop you there as we go to a break. I want you to hang on if you don't mind, please. And this is just amazing. I think what we're saying here, people, is be aware and be vocal. It's time to say enough is enough. It is all around us, and it's time to stop. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. We'll be right back. Creamy Shaker Sunday. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Kimba Green in studio, Yaku Boyens from Texas, who's calling in. And Yaku is a filmmaker and a bold advocate and voice for the human trafficking issue. And Yaku, I thought it would be helpful for people to understand how you got involved in all this. You mentioned earlier in the show that your sister was trafficked. Could you share more about that?
Yeah, please. And thank you for that question. We share our family. We share very openly. You know, where we are today, having an organization called ShareTogetherNow.org, or a lot of the work we're doing on social media, like on Twitter, my handle. How did we get here today? It started in 1994. In 1994, I was a senior in high school in South Africa, and my sister was 13 years old at the time. And she was trafficked in South Africa. Now, when you're three kids and a mom, single mom, that the woman is amazing. She is an angel. I mean, but you're a tight family, and all of a sudden this happens to your sister. The family is thrusted into this, and nobody at that point in time was even calling it child sex trafficking. Nobody knew, you know, what that was. So it was a very long process, 6 years, for Ilanka to get free from that. And then the only way really to get her free, because once she was rescued and there was a rescue, they kept pursuing. They massive threats on the family. There was a home invasion because of it. They were aggressive. They were coming for her and threatened my mom's life. So my mom made a decision as a school teacher to leave the country and immigrate to the United States, which then my brother and I followed, you know, soon after. That's how we were thrusted into this. Now you can imagine everything you can think of, you know, the where is this, what's going on, what's happening, to then learning what was done to your sister. You imagine the thoughts. I mean, things, I mean, you don't want to repeat the things that go through your mind, what you want to do to people. Then you come to the United States, the land of milk and honey, and I started seeing signs, first at a truck stop right out of Atlanta, Georgia. I looked at a girl, I'll never forget, and I was like, that girl's being trafficked. And I knew because of the stories my sister told me firsthand of how they would traffic her and what they would do and how pimps remain in close proximity but distance, how they profile, how they have a buffer between them and the victim, but they're still there. And I started recognizing it. Now, people at that point in time in 2001 in the United States, so 2014 to 2001, told me I was crazy. No, you're insane. This is not you. Now, fast forward to where we come today. We've now worked in 56 countries around the world, but our focus, mine, is the U.S. The United States child's been forgotten. We love sending missionaries around the world, and yes, kids in Cambodia and Thailand and Dominican Republic, we've worked there. They need rescue for sure. But there's American kids being trafficked in our streets, in our malls, in our schools. And people are not, you know, they're like, we don't want to know. We don't want to talk about it. It's difficult. So we were thrusted into it because my sister was trafficked. Now, praise God, Ilanka is a survivor. But I will tell you this, 7 years after, you know, the initial trafficking incident, 2 years after being rescued, she tried to commit suicide because the emotional trauma, you don't fix that stuff overnight. If ever, the rehabilitation rate is so low because the work is beyond difficult to help a young woman or a young man, boys are being trafficked to have self-worth, trust, appreciation, can let any man close. Can just look themselves in a mirror and feel like there's value. You crush the human spirit, it is very hard to get back. So it was a long journey. Ilanka ended up in rehab, and she'll attribute her relationship with Jesus and finding him as to, hey, man, I got hope again, and I got real healing and redemption. But there was massive clinical work that needed to be done. Now, today she is a counselor herself in this space, but it is, you know, on average in any of these rehabilitation centers and safe houses, it's between $3,000 to $7,000 per month per victim. So survivor. That's the cost of rehabilitation. And these nonprofits, most of them, are founded by former victims, by survivors themselves. So you're looking at an industry that's so evil that we were thrusted into by firsthand experience and had to learn how to learn firsthand. There was nobody that was teaching us. There was no curriculum. There was no, at the time, even the police at the time would tell us, you're crazy, your sister's a runaway. She's not a runaway. She was trafficked through a corporate setting. She was trafficked through a record label. She won a competition like American Idol and then was raped by the president. And that was held over her head as shame. And then they started threatening my mom. And then it's a domino effect. They threatened my brother's life. And off you go.
Let me ask you this. So this is one way it gets started. I think people need to understand what are some of the other ways it gets started. And it sounds like what you're saying is anytime somebody is compromised, it's held over their head, to your point about shame, and then they're kind of put in a position of having to perform, so to speak. In the case of our guest here, and we're going to hear about her story next week, okay? But in that case, she was abducted, correct? Yeah. So she was abducted. So there are a number of ways this happens. You know, one is parents watch your kids at all times at the playgrounds and the whatevers for the creepy guys, right? But also, to your point, it can happen through what seems to be an innocent thing, like a competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So one, go ahead.
Yeah. No, look, I'll tell you. People will say, Yaku, how does this happen? Let me give you a real simple example. Are you aware of the emotional trauma kids are going through today when they have one occurrence of rejection on social media? Just one. They post a photo when someone posts a negative comment. They fall apart because you're touching their inner desire to be wanted. How much more do you think happens to a child when someone has physically, sexually abused a child and told them right after the abuse, now you're filthy. You're disgusting. You disgust me. I can't stand you. That's what they do. That's what they do. We have victims that will say the guy forced me by gunpoint to have sex with a guy. And right after I gave sex to this guy, he would tell me that was a test. I can't believe you're that filthy. They stripped him of all humanity and self-worth. Now it becomes survival mode. Now it's like they tell them nobody will believe you.
Trying to prove that they really are worthy. Let me ask you this, Yaku. People, you mentioned the cost. And I think that, first of all, we got to figure out how to deliver care at a lower cost than $7,000 a month. That's insane. But that being said, where can people, one, report an incident? Obviously, they can call their 911. They can call the police or sheriff. I'm assuming they could also call the FBI if they think this is happening, correct? Where do people report, Yaku, if they think there's an issue or human trafficking happening around them? Who do they call?
You want to say just call 911, but unfortunately, yes, please call 911. Call local authorities. Depends on where you are. Let's say you're on a school camp, a college campus. There's campus police. They're the closest. You report campus police. There is a hotline that people can call that I want to give to you, that I want you to post on your site, that is specific towards sex trafficking. It's a sex trafficking hotline that has individuals that are trained how to field these calls. But I'm asking people, I'm imploring people, don't only call the hotline, because if you recognize a child in a truck stop and you just think, man, that's not right. That adult with her, it doesn't look right. I think it's trafficking. Or a child in a restroom says, help me. You can't be a vigilante. You can't take that pimp on yourself. They will resort to violence, right? Now what do? You can call the trafficking hotline, but you've got seconds. You need to notify the closest authority, point of authority, whether it's a school principal or police. So I always say, do it all. call 911, call the anti-trafficking hotline, notify the local authority, law enforcement or authority, but most importantly, understand you are the most valuable asset. You, the profiler. And profiling is this big taboo in our society. We better learn how to profile. You are the profiler. You need to take very, very quick mental snapshots and cues of that child. Make eye contact. You know, compliment her or something. Get eye contact. Get mental images. The car they're driving. What is she wearing? Where are you? What time of day? Because you're the number one resource for us to find that child. If you're just oblivious and later go, you know what, that didn't look right, and you have no mental picture, you cannot help us, even if you call us. So I would say do all of the above, but most importantly, act. Do not engage with the pimp, ever, ever. These are evil, trained people that will resort to violence, but don't disengage by doing nothing. Take mental notes and report.
And trust your gut.
We don't want vigilantes.
We have to have people trust your gut. I trust my gut. My gut has kept me alive more than once. So trust your gut. If your gut's screaming at you, pay attention. Yaku, could you please provide the hotline number for people to call?
Yes, sure. And this is the national hotline. There are state hotlines as well, so please research your state hotline. The national hotline is 1-888-373-7888. 1-888-373-7888, or just text the word help to that number. But that's a hotline that's nationwide that has trained individuals.
Well, that's good information for people to know who may find themselves in this, God forbid, situation, that they could also text help, could they not?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And we're working on some initiatives to really just, you know, get people trained on what to do quickly. And of course, that's 24 hours, and that's both English and Spanish. And actually, you can select over 200 languages. So there's nobody in the country here that shouldn't be able to communicate. Unfortunately, these traffic victims are typically not able to call, but I'm asking the public to help us police this crime.
Okay. Now, what is a website where people can find out more information and follow you on Twitter? So could you please provide that?
We have a lot of information on our websites. We're always updating and sharing information and tips. It is sharetogethernow.org, or it's the name of the movie, the number 8 days. 8 days is the film, so 8daysfilm.org. And we appreciate any support. We definitely appreciate people coming and learning how to keep their communities and their kids safe.
Where is that film being played?
Twitter. It's at Boyens Yaku, BOOYENSJACO, at Boyens Yaku. And on Instagram, it is Yaku.Boyens, my name, dot last name. Twitter is my last name, then first name.
Okay, and so this 8 days film, can you tell us just briefly about that? Is it about your sister?
8 days is not about my sister's story. It's a culmination of multiple different actual cases that we were involved with. Of course, we changed the name and the location. And we show in a feature film, not a documentary, a feature film, how this happens, how it literally happens and so quickly happens. So everything in that film is factual. Names change and locations change, but there's multiple forms of trafficking in the film, and you follow a particular girl's story called Amber. And the interesting thing about Amber is you are experiencing trafficking through the victim's eyes and the victim's mind, which is a very different perspective.
Okay, well, we're going to make that available. I'm going to add that to my blog for this week. And I can't thank you enough for you using your voice and your creativity and your talent to help millions of people. I mean, really, truly, not just the victims, but their families and loved ones who care about them. And, you know, I think that we are at a point of reckoning in society today where enough is enough and it must stop. And, you know, the Epsteins of the world and the Weinsteins of the world and the whoever's of the world, they need to be held to account for the evil acts And I don't care if it's, you know, who it is. I don't care how powerful they are. And the problem is, how do we unravel that ball of yarn? That's really the problem, because at some point, these people have to lay their head down, look in the mirror, and meet their maker. And someday, their accountability will come, but at what cost, right? So I just thank you so much, Yaku. Thank you so much for being with us here on Success Happens. You know, we take on, you know, we're all about success, and sometimes that's tackling big issues and trying to cause success, even though we're kind of in the middle of the stream right now, trying to make it happen.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the opportunity and for your voice, for being willing to tackle a difficult subject, but we need to talk about difficult things in this country. And look, I'll leave you in the audience with this. Evil exists when good men do nothing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you so much. God bless you. We're going to go ahead and share this podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
I'll be back in touch with you. For those of you who are listening, I implore you to take action and to don't be afraid to see something, say something, and be wrong. Like Yaku said, it is important that we're willing to have the courage to stand up for something that's worthy of us standing up for. And these kids and these young people deserve us standing up and saying, now, enough is enough. You've been listening to Success Happens. Please listen to our show next week with Kimba Green, who is a survivor of human trafficking. You will hear her story and her insights and the work that she's doing here in the community to help others who have suffered these evil acts. And we wish you the best week. And thank you for listening to Success Happens. I know it's been a tough show, but it's an important one. God bless you. We'll see you next Saturday, 9 a.m. on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com, a service of Clustered Spires, Maryland's golf at its finest.